Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And remember, as always, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, there are a lot of words that are bandied about today, like the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. And you might have some kind of an idea that this is referring to a current pandemic, but if you're like most of us, you may have little concept of what these acronyms mean and how they relate one to another. So I want to take a moment on today's broadcast to unpack them. First, the word coronavirus. Now, I know this is not a biblical word, but nonetheless, I think it's worthy of taking some time to unpack it. Coronavirus, we repeat it over and over again, but what does it mean? It actually refers to a large family of viruses common in humans and animals. And these viruses are so named because when viewed under an electron microscope, they appear with a halo or a corona, and that's why it's called a coronavirus. And by the way, the word novel appended to coronavirus is simply a way of communicating that the coronavirus we face today is new or novel. What about SARS-CoV-2? Well, that actually stands for severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2. And this is a name given to a particular coronavirus we face in this epoch of time, the one that causes the disease abbreviated as COVID-19. And by the way, that in itself is an acronym of sorts. The CO stands for corona, the VI stands for virus, and the D stands for disease, and of course, 19 is a reference to the year 2019, or last year at the disease in which, the time in which the outbreak of the disease occurred. But what about SARS, S-A-R-S? That refers to severe acute respiratory syndrome, and it's emblematic of the global outbreak of 2003, about 17 years ago. And as such, it is yet another viral respiratory disease caused by a coronavirus. One last acronym that deserves just a moment that's bandied about in the popular media, and that is MERS, M-E-R-S, stands for Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and was an extraordinarily deadly respiratory illness caused by a coronavirus. Hope that clears up the nomenclature, the meaning stuff, or the naming of stuff, I should say. If you're still confused after all of this, well, I can't help you. It was hard enough for me to figure this out for myself. I do want to help you with one thing, however, and that is comfort in the midst of coronavirus. And when I need comfort, whether it is cancer or coronavirus or any difficulty in life's very frequent storms, I turn to the Word of God. And I love the Psalms in this regard. Psalm 46 comes to mind. It's 11 short verses, but they are powerful in giving us peace in the midst of the storm. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is an ever-present help in the midst of trouble. And therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar, though they foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. God lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease. To the ends of the earth, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Angela listening in Indiana on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is this. I've noticed a decline or a lack, the progressive Christianity, that agenda has seemed to have been tabled or pushed back. I haven't seen much as far as post on social media or even in the news. And have you noticed that, or am I imagining things? It just seems to have simply been tabled. And have you noticed that?
So what do you mean by progressive Christianity?
What do I mean? I'm Methodist. What I'm thinking about is the Methodist and full inclusion. That piece of it
right.
has just kind of gone away.
Yeah.
For now.
Well, I don't think it's gone away. Maybe because of all of the news with respect to coronavirus capturing our attention, capturing our focus, we're not thinking about it as much, and it is pushed somewhat in the background. But I'm very aware. I read three newspapers every morning, and I'm very aware of the progressive Christian agenda. An agenda that we talk about in Free to Believe, the battle over religious liberty in America in particular. It's so important for us to realize that religious freedom in our modern culture involves many different things, including the religious discrimination that's taking place, abortion rights, which is being advocated even within many progressive Christian circles, gay rights as well. This seems to be one of those issues that many Christians are sort of tuning into and promoting now within the Christian church. So it's not only the biggest problem that faces the Christian church with respect to religious liberty from without, but it also is an insidious invective from within as well. There's also the matter of Islam. You know, there are many progressive Christians who are saying that Islam is just another alternative religious system and that we ought to take it seriously, when in essence, this is a socio-political system that creates havoc not only for the Christian, but for Western civilization in general. I wrote about this in a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. So these pressing religious challenges in the modern culture are progressive challenges that we find in the church as well. And that's one of the reasons that we're promoting the book Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. If you don't have a copy, if you're listening to the broadcast right now, it is available on the web for your support of the ministry. Go to equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When we come back from the break, more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for answers to your questions.
Many Americans are concerned about religious freedom, feeling the culture changing around them and fearing that their Christian beliefs will soon be viewed as bigotry. In Free to Believe, Luke Goodrich offers a balanced, gospel-centered approach to religious freedom, applying biblical understanding to critical cultural issues of our day while offering practical steps Christians can take to respond to religious freedom conflicts. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go to our phone calls. Billy first in Columbia, South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you. My question is, I want to know if it would be biblical for a pastor to present to a church to do away with the deacon board and install an elder board.
Well, I think it's important to look at what the prescription for church government is. What you have are a number of orders of things within the church. The first, of course, being the laity, also called the saints. And these are the faithful, the brethren. They're the people of God. And they're really actually called by Peter a holy priesthood. So the same language that is used for the laity in the New Testament is ascribed in the Old Testament to the priests. So we are the new priesthood. So this is a very important function within the body of Christ. And then you have the deacons, and the deacons are literally servants. They're servants who are ordained to serve the church, and because of that, they have to meet very high qualifications. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Then there are the presbyters. Another word for presbyter would be an elder or a priest. And they are appointed in every church. And they have a very important function in that they are joined to Christ, who is the high priest, and they are given a very important function in terms of instructing the body of Christ. Now, overseeing the presbyters and the deacons are the bishops. They're the overseers. And we see this delineated again throughout the scripture, a bishop being the leader of the elders. Perhaps the strongest early reference outside of the New Testament to the presence of these orders of government occurs in the writing, and this is very early, the writings of Ignatius, who was the bishop of Antioch. And so you have writings that precede even the fall of the temple in AD 70, which give you this form of government. And I think one of the things that's very important for us as Christians is not to be innovators, but rather to perpetuate, which is to say the new church in the New Testament follows an order or a pattern that was given to them in the Old Testament, and we ought to follow the pattern of the church in the New Testament given to us through holy testimony of the saints, the apostolic fathers, the apologists, and the church fathers, both pre and post Nicene. So I think the orders of church government are established in Scripture, and I don't think it is our prerogative to simply pick and choose what we're going to do. I think we want to follow the biblical order laid down for us in Scripture. Jody, next in Washington. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How's it going?
Doing good.
Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
Yeah, well, I had a question. I've had this genetic anxiety disorder for a while, about 11 years, and I've tried, like, different medical, like, drugs and things that haven't really helped, and the side effects have been actually worse than the problem itself. So I was looking for other things to help. And there's this new trend called microdosing LSD. It's taken 1/10 of a dose, and it's not enough to get a person high at all, but it's a medical treatment that's supposed to help people. And so I was looking for a different avenue. But I wasn't sure because it's not legal. And but I would be taking it not to distort my reality, but actually get back to reality and be able to function better in life. So I was just curious if that was biblical or not.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to ask whether it is legal. And if it's not legal, then I don't think that we want to participate in it. If it's not prescribed by a doctor, I'm not sure that it would be a good idea for you to self-medicate with LSD. Have you ever tried to medicate yourself with the scriptures? And there are many, many scriptures that are meant to help us deal with the problem of anxiety. So, for example, you read in Psalm 118 that the Lord is by your side, and because the Lord is by your side, you should not fear or suffer from anxiety. And, of course, you know, the famous psalm that we're all familiar with, Psalm 23, says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I can think of many other passages. You think of the Old Testament, Joshua, who said, "Be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And of course, the famous words of our Lord, "Are not two sparrows sold for a thin little copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." And then, says Jesus, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And therefore, don't fear. You are of far more value than many sparrows." So you can go through so many texts that tell you how great the Lord is and how intimately he is involved with every aspect of your life. And once you get a grasp of that, you don't fear. You're not anxious. So I think that there are solutions that we look to when the solution is right in front of us all the time. And that solution is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
I appreciate it, Hank. Thank you.
You got it.
I definitely will do that.
Okay, and thank you for taking that counsel. Mario in El Paso, Texas, listening on KLP. Hi, Mario.
Hi, Hank. My question is, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he's a very devout Christian. But anyway, we were talking about the coronavirus, and he was mentioning that this is a divine retribution from God, because we have killed over 1 million innocent babies over the course of this year alone, and also to the loose sexual morals that we have in our country. And I was telling him that, you know, the enemy comes to destroy and kill and that he is the one that planted this virus, and we should be, praying for our country, you know, in repentance and crying out to God for our forgiveness. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I like what you said. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think it is our prerogative or province to say what God's specific judgments are. What we are to do is pray and ask the Lord to forgive us. And you know, repentance begins with the house of God. Yes, it is true that abortion is rampant in the land. There's all kinds of evil that is rampant in the land. But think about where that originates. Pagans are always going to do what their job description demands that they do, and that is they're going to be pagans. Christians, on the other hand, have been called to be salt and light. So the problem is really not with pagans exercising their job description, but is the failure of the church to exercise the command that God has given this wonderful organism that is called the body of Christ to be salt and light to a lost and searching world. So I think we have to look introspectively at our own lives and seek to be a salt and light in the world, as opposed to trying to figure out exactly what God's punishments are. Now, it is true to say that we have offended God by our activities, and therefore repentance begins within the house of God. That's where it starts. But again, it is not our prerogative to say exactly what God's specific judgments are. Jesus makes that clear with his allusion to the Tower of Siloam, which fell and killed, I think it was 18 people. And Jesus said, do you think they were more wicked than you? Well, unless we all repent, we're going to suffer the same judgment. Got to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back with more answers to your questions and more commentary that I think is important for you to hear. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write to CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.